kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
To share with you today that I believe the Lord impresses to me with regard to asking in faith, asking the Lord. And we're going to call our teaching today, God will reveal in order for you to receive. God will reveal in order for you to receive. You see, we can't have faith and pray the prayer of faith and receive God's blessings and promises unless it is revealed. And I know we make much of this, and I believe there is a reason why the Lord brings this up periodically for us to learn yet more and more. Because God wants his name glorified. He wants to answer our prayers and his word and his promises. But we also know that the Holy Spirit, he has to reveal. We have so learned, haven't we, over the years, that there is nothing we can do in ourselves. We are at the mercy and love of God in the way that he reveals what he does to us. And the whole walk with God is revelation. It is revealed knowledge, teaching, understanding. Otherwise, we know nothing. And I want us just to continue to bear that in mind as we open up with our teaching with this. And we're going to call this today, God will reveal in order for you to receive. That is what we're talking about today. And we're going to look at this in John 16, John 16 and verses 22 and 24. But I want to sort of lead into this because the Lord reveals that the Holy Spirit is going to come. He is going to come back by the Spirit, and he is going to reveal, he's going to teach by the Spirit of God, but he must first go to his Father. And he explains to the disciples that he is with them, but in a little while he is to leave. And they're debating and asking about, well, what does he mean that he's going to leave? Where is he going? He will return. What is he on about? And very often we find the disciples not understanding what the Lord is saying to them. He either takes them to one side and reveals more to them, but they don't get it straight away. And it's exactly like us. We don't get it straight away. It's an unveiling. It's a learning. And let's take it up actually from verse 16 of John 16. To actually lead into this, it says, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Well, I suppose that would confuse anyone if we didn't really understand what that would mean. We would all be perplexed by that. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? And we do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me." Which is wonderful, because you see, the Lord knows them, doesn't he? The same with us. This is the sensitivity of God, how he knows those things we don't always fully understand. And then it goes on in verse 20, "But most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." So he's talking about, he's opening up a bit more. They're going to be sorrowful. They are not going to understand. The world will like it because they want to get rid of him, but they will not. And then it goes on, "Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy, and no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So he then sort of ends this by the fact that he's going away. They're not fully understanding yet, but he's saying, "You've not asked anything yet of me." And he's already spoken earlier that the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, will come to teach them and lead them and guide them in order that they may be able to ask of the Father. And that's why we're calling this teaching, "God Will Reveal," in order for you to receive. So he says in verse 23, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." So he's saying, in that day, when is that day? That he's saying to them, that he's saying also to us and every generation that has walked with the Lord. Well, when you are born again, obviously you receive Christ. You then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to get the word in your heart. And as the word begins to get in your heart and you hear the word, it stirs you to have a prayer life. You start to pray. And you find your life's beginning to be consecrated, separated unto the Lord. The Lord is teaching you then to walk by faith, to love and embrace your enemies, to work and labor in the vineyard and so on, and to share and preach the kingdom of God. These are all things that we learn in time. It's when the Lord makes us one with the Father. That is what he's meaning here in verse 23, "And in that day you will ask me." And that's why we have John 17, which you all know very well, Jesus' priestly prayer, that they may be one with the Father, the Godhead. In other words, it's until the life of Christ is fully manifested in us. And when that is not manifested fully in us, we still have many questions and things to ask. And this is what happens when you come to the Lord and your life is changed and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. There is so many questions that it raises that we want to know. But you see, God will speak at the right time when we're ready to receive. Why? Because then you are able to pray according to his will. all the while you are asking questions or asking man what it means, you will never fully have a prayer life. In other words, you won't be able to pray the prayer of faith because you are not receiving by the Spirit. You are looking to flesh and blood. And of course, this is what the disciples are doing here. They're young in the Lord, they're walking with the Lord, they're not understanding, and the Lord's explaining to them, but he knows even as he explains to them, they have to have the Holy Spirit. It is the Godhead who teaches us, because we know that the Holy Spirit, the Father, Jesus, they are one. They are all involved in teaching you, in encouraging you, inspiring you in which to ask of the Father. They don't do anything separate in that sense. Even though the Spirit has come to encourage, to teach us, that is still the Father's blessing and will through Jesus Christ, you see. And that's why we come at the end where we stop asking why, and because we begin to realize where we get our answers from, and that is by the Spirit through the Word of God. We are mightily blessed in FGA with regard to that. You have still got many preachers and teachers who love to let you know how much theology they know. They still have much of their trumpet they want to sound, that pride. But God has not ordained the pulpit teachers in order to do that. They are there to point you, to encourage you to be totally reliant upon the Holy Spirit, his ministry and his teaching. And that is why I say so often, when you hear, it is confirming to you what the Spirit is revealing to you. That is how we discern the Word of God. That is how we test the spirits, 1 John 4, from these false prophets. But sadly, most Christians don't really understand that. They don't know how to test. And the reason they don't know how to test, because they're not really receiving by the Spirit in their teaching. Because that is the only way you get faith in order to believe these promises. It doesn't come by simple mental assent. Faith doesn't come by just looking at a scripture and reading it in that sense. If it did, then the whole world would be saved, or everyone who looks at a Bible and reads it. But they're not. It has to be the Holy Spirit that does this work. Because, you see, what he's doing is, he's working with us where we have a total reliance on him. So that we have that revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That life that brings us into complete oneness with God's will and purpose. And that's what we're to live. That is the work of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. That he brings us into complete oneness with the Father, the Godhead. And then he says, in that day, there may still be many things that are hidden from your understanding, but the wonder is, it doesn't come between your heart and God. And that's the wonderful thing about it. You may still not see what God wants you to see, but it doesn't affect your relationship. It doesn't hinder your heart, because God meets us where we are. So the understanding of revelation that we've had today of God is a blessing, but but it will be fresh and new tomorrow. And what you have received today and our understanding today is no good a week ago. That's gone, you see. This is why we meet God daily and we learn in that day what he teaches and reveals and shows us, because that's what you do when you walk with someone, when you have a relationship with someone, in your family or your spouse. You wake up each day and that day you share, you walk together, you do all that life offers, and home and children or whatever it is, that's fresh for that day. And it's exactly the same in our relationship with God, you see. And you won't need to ask, because the time he has worked with you, you will be certain that God will reveal things in accordance to his revealed will. So you won't be asking or questioning, because you know that this day he is revealing what I need to know. Which we go back to what we have read there in 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it. So God has given you enough to know and understand for this day in which to ask the Father in his name, you see. That's why when we turn back to John 14 and verse 1, John 14 and verse 1, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So he says, don't be troubled. Don't get upset or anguish. You have the faith for today in which to ask, and the Father will reveal. You say, well, I don't feel like it. It's got nothing to do with feelings. It's what he says in his word, you see. And it's all about the attitude of our hearts. And when we settle in this, then we don't keep raising these questions and why and when, or unbelief and all the things that we throw at God, you see. Because he says, in that day you will ask me nothing. And he says, most assuredly. So he's saying, this is an absolute assurity. He's speaking with absolute confidence over you and I. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You see, if there are questions or mysteries that are coming between you and God, never look for answers or explanations in your mind. Don't try and work it out in your mind, because this is what we try and do. We're analysing, we're becoming analytical. That is not what the Word of God is for, and that's why so many miss it. It is revealed to you. And that's why you look to your spiritual life, to your heart, for the answers, because that is where he's going to speak. He's not going to speak to your mind. He speaks to the inner man in the heart. The mind picks up from the heart, not you analysing and trying to fathom and work it out. And he says, when you get that in that day, then you can ask most assuredly. And whatever you ask, he will give you. And he says it again in verse 24. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Because he's saying you cannot ask intellectually, when it's analytical, you are trying to work it out. He says, when I reveal it to you, you can ask confidently, because when it is revealed, you don't doubt. Your true inner nature receives the revelation of it, because it's in the heart. And that's where the trouble lies. And we have to watch our hearts. We have to look over our hearts. We have to make sure that there's no resentment or unforgiveness or critical spirit. All these things that sadly Christians can be plagued with. It's a hindrance. Why do you think the devil attacks in that way? Because he doesn't want you receiving revelation of God's word in order to ask. Because when you ask, God is glorified and exposes the enemy, you see. He's no fool. It's just we Christians don't learn yet, you see. But once you yield and you submit to that life of Jesus that's in you, then your understanding in asking by faith will be made perfectly clear, you see. And you will know. This is how Jesus walked. This is how they saw the great works that he did and the miracles as well. Because it was all revealed to him. We see this with Jesus over and over again. How the Father reveals to him or reveals somebody's heart or what the disciples are thinking. How does he know all of that? He knows because the Father reveals it. And he's therefore able to speak on it, exactly in this chapter that we're talking about here in John 16. He knew what the disciples were murmuring and talking about. And he explains it to them. They didn't go up and tell him, but the Father revealed, you see. And that's what you are coming into. There will be no schism between you and God because he is made one with you. And that is the key to this every time. And as we bring this to a conclusion, we have to look at John 17 in order for us to understand in light of asking of God by faith. For example, he says in John 17 and verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So he says, eternal life comes from the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Through Jesus Christ. So there he says, that's how it comes. That's how they know. And then in verses 6 to 8, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. Now look what the Holy Spirit, I mean, they've not yet being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he knows what the Holy Spirit, when he comes back, will do. He says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So there is the signs. If you are the Lord, you keep the word of God, because the word of God is revelation to you. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. So they knew this because it was revealed to them. That's why they knew who Christ was in their limited way. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So he says, I've given them the words which the Father revealed to Jesus. He says, they received the word and know surely that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So that word that God has given to them, they are believing. They are releasing faith, you see, in order to receive a revelation of who he really is. Then it goes on in verses 11 to 14. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world and come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So Jesus is praying, those whom the Father has given to him, he's praying, Father, look after them, keep them. And the Lord will answer that prayer. And he goes on, while I was with you in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So he says that I've kept them in your name, those you gave me, and none of them is lost except the one that betrayed him. That the scriptures obviously that would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So that's what the world thinks of us, or should, if we have his word in us. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So there we are. So there is prayer, intercession, night and day, that never stops, that keeps you from the evil one. You are protected. It's Psalm 91 and many other provisions. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So there we are. We are separated, sanctified, set apart because of this word, for the purpose that we receive it by revelation, because the world can't give this, you see. And then we go on with this in verse 21, 23, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So he's speaking of unity and oneness. The oneness is in the Godhead, in agreement and love. So we likewise in our fellowship with each other should be in love, unity and oneness. And if you're not, then your prayers are hindered. And that is always one of the problems. Why prayers are not answered. Because there's not that oneness. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So he's speaking of unity, oneness, fellowship. And he means exactly what he says here. If we are to receive, if we're to understand the revelation of his will. And he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. That is how the world is going to know, by our unity and oneness, that love. And finally in verse 26, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So there we are. What tremendous prayer. The love that Jesus had for the Father and the Father had for him is the same love he has for us and we have for him and each other, you see. And that is why faith will never receive from the mind, from the intellect. It has to come from a heart in oneness with Christ. And there is the revelation. And then you can confidently ask, as he says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. There we are. We've already explained it to you, how you ask, how you pray the prayer of faith. You know that it will be answered. It will happen because you are one with God. And he is one with you, you see. And nothing can break that unity and oneness. So there we are, brothers and sisters. This is what we've been talking about. God will reveal in order for you to receive. This is how you receive. And this is the basis of which you pray on. And when you learn this, then this just inspires you, encourages you to get into prayer, to have a prayer life, because you are one with him and he with you. And if you are finding prayer difficult, or you're not praying, or your prayer life is a failure or whatever it is, this could well be the problem. Let God do that work. Don't resist. Just yield over. He knows what he's doing. He's prayed that priestly prayer over you and me. And let that be accomplished and fulfilled. It's not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. Well, there we are. Praise God. God will reveal in order for you to receive. I trust you've been blessed, and it's been a blessing to share and to have fellowship with you all.